Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein in the Yeshiva Shalmaila, and a happy Shushan Purim to everybody. We have a wonderful program, Beards and Shaving in Halacha. We will have Rabbi Moshe Taub. He's the Rav of Holliswood. He's the Ami magazine columnist. We will have Rav Nachum Eisenstein speaking, our Shaver's Mutter. He's the Rav of Malataf, the Yerushalayim, a close Talmud, the Mashbach, Berabal Yashiv, Zuchan Levracha. From Chabad in Hungary, Budapest, we will have Rav Baruch Oberlander. He's the Chabad Rav and Avbezdin of Budapest, who wrote a number of Svarim about this. And we will have from Satma, Rav Moshe Aaron Kahana, the head of Mechon Zichron Kahuna, head of Rameya Balanes, all speaking about beards. We'll be looking at it from the Litvish side, from the Hasidish side. Should be a very interesting discussion. Before we begin, I would like to ask a question. We have so many Talmidei Chachamim and Lamdim here. So this is going to be a straight halacha program. There will be some social aspect. You'll hear the Hasidim speaking about the Kabbalistic reasons, etc., for having a beard. But I want to ask a Shaila learning to our very learned Eilim, and anybody who wants could either email or call in with an answer. Everybody knows that the Gemara says that when Esther said, Kasher avadati, avadati, one of the Peshatim the Gemara says is, she says, until now, I was mutter to Mordechai because I was considered an anusa. My relationships with Ahasuerus were against my will. But now that I'm propositioning him, I'm not an anusa anymore, and I become avadati, I become usher to my husband, to Mordechai, who until then she was mutter to. So here's a question I want to ask. Let's say you would have an Isha who is, somebody's being right de facha her for a Dvar Avera, and she has a policeman standing next to him, and she say, hey, stop him. Or there's a guy right next door. She without any danger, could just stop him. And she doesn't. She's negligent. Or she has any of them, 100 ways of stopping him. She could jump into an elevator and run away from him. She could lock the car and drive away. Would you say she has a din of anusa if she does not do any of these very easy items? So the argument would be, in such a case, she's not an anusa. She's doing it baratzen. So if so, I have a question. Months before this happened with the kasher avadati avadati, you have Mordechai listening to the story of Bigson Vesarish that they're plotting to kill Ahasuerus. He then sends a messenger to Esther to tell her, who then tells Ahasuerus. So what is Esther at that point doing? She's saying, somebody's going to kill Ahasuerus, who is my ma'anes, who's in effect the rapist of Mordechai, right, who's doing it shaloker tzayna. And what does she do? If she does nothing, Ahasuerus dies, and Esther is free. She doesn't have to deal with it anymore. Instead, she goes, she tells Ahasuerus, who then saves his life by killing Bigson Vesarish. Well, at that point in time, she's not an anusa anymore. She's making an elective decision to allow Ahasuerus to continue having relationships with her. So why do you have to wait all the way till later in the Megillah till Avadati Avadati? It should be Avadati Avadati when she conspires with Mordechai to have and tells Ahasuerus to have Bigson Vesarish killed. So we have so many intelligent, bright across the entire globe, America, Eretz Yisrael, England, South Africa, we've had from France, Australia, I think we have like 12 countries. Ask somebody, please come with an answer. So before we go to beards, I want to do a little bit of a hagdama. Okay, so a little bit of a prelude. So it says twice in the Torah, in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Lo'sashchis paskanecha, do not destroy basically your beard, the corners of your beard. And in Parshas Emor, it says, U'paskanecha lo'yigalechu, do not shave. So the Gemara in Nazir says that you need both. You need both destruction and giluach. So for example, the Gemara says, a rihatni, which is either some type of a plane, a file, or according to some, it's a tweezer. That's not called shaving. Hashchas it is, destruction it is, but shaving it is. Or, for example, if you have a scissor is not destroying it, and it's not giluach, it's neither. So the Gemara says, a misperayim would be mutter, the Rambam in Hosavai Dezara, Yudbei Zayin says, giluach sheyesh by hashchasa, is mutter. The Chesed Mishnah says lechatchila, and the Gemara says you need giluach of a misparayim is mutter. You need giluach of tar, giluach that has hashchasa. So you need both a shave, a razor, as well as total destruction, where there's nothing, you can't grab the hair with your nail. Some say it has to be a little bit longer. So you need both destruction of the hair, as well as, you know, it's all the way down to the skin, as well as with a razor. That's what a Gemara is. That's Daf Mem Amud Aleph and Chesam and Beis. In Nazir, Misparayim Ke'en Tar is Asa by a Nazir, but by a regular, but not by a Nazir, it's Mata. The Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, in Kuf Peyalef, 181.10, says Paskin Salvaik that Misparayim, a scissor, that's Ke'en Tar, that seems to cut as close as a razor, is Mata. Why? Because it's not a tar. So you have hashchasa, but you don't have a razor. You have two things. You need destruction of the hair all the way down, as well as a razor. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Truma Sadeshin argues. The Shach says we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Truma Sadeshin. So what does that mean? So in the Paiskim, you see when shavers came out, you see three different opinions. Well, what's the halacha? So you had the Shevet Levi, the Menchas Yitzchak. These are more recent Paiskim. They looked at the current shavers, and they say, you know what? An electric shaver, let's look at the results. The results are identical to that of a razor. So they say, if that's the case, we're going to look at it as both a razor, and a hashchasa. Other Paiskim argued, Rav Henkin, the great Paisik from America, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, they said, wait. A tar, a razor, the skin touches the blade directly. He said, by an electric shaver, there's a screen there. It doesn't touch the skin. So the hair goes through the screen, and whatever comes through the screen, it gets clipped. So since the blade does not touch the skin directly, and that's the intent of the process, that is not called hashchasa kein tar, and therefore they argue on those that asr, and they say it's mutter. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Baal Igros Moshe, this is Alpi Messiah, many people heard it from him, Rav Avadi Yosef, they say a different reason. They say if there's a screen, so then what's happening is the blade is not cutting it independently like a sar, but the blade crushes the hair against the screen, and that's how it cuts. So they said, that's not a tar anymore. So even if you have a shchas and it cuts all the way down, but since it's a combination action, basically it's a scissor. It's a blade cutting against the screen, which the combination causes the hair to be cut. So he says, that's a scissor. So they're also mata, both Ramesh and Rav Avadi Yosef. And Ramesh has an interesting chiddush in the Baal Igros Moshe. So again, it's Pei Masaira. Many people heard it from him. He says that if it's not the Derech Giluach of the Gemara, right, that is not called Derech Giluach. So even though today you would say, well, electric shaver, that's called Derech Giluach, Rav Moshe says, no, it had to do with the time of the Gemara. Now, Rav Moshe would test whether the blade was actually sharp enough to cut by its own or whether you need the screen. And what would he do? He would do the same thing that you do when you test the Sakin Shel Shechit. He would take a hair and pull the hair across the blade. If a sakin shel shechita, if it slices right through the hair, you know it's sharp enough. If the shaver's blade, you pull it, and most of them are pretty flat, would not cut it. So then he said, then it needs the combination of screen and blade. He said, in that case, even if the blade would have touched the hair, it still wouldn't matter. It would touch the skin, it still wouldn't matter. That is not derech giluach. So again, so we have, you know, three different ways to be matir. And then you have those who paiskim u'asa who say, you know what, it's just the derech, it's the results that matter. So that's sort of like a very short synopsis. The paiskim that we speak to will mention all of the above, so I thought I would give you a little bit of a sort of a heads up. And we're going to hear again about it from halacha, from Kabbalah, and from Satma for social reasons. Let's go straight to our guests.
We have on the phone with us from New York City, Rabbi Moshe Taub. He is the a Talmud of Beis Medrash Kavaya of Lakewood. He's the helm of BVK, the Kashrus organization. He's the Rav of the Young Israel of Holliswood. Before that, he was the Young Israel of Buffalo. He's also a columnist at Ami. Welcome, Rabbi Taub.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to speak to you again. If I could just say something before we begin.
Yeah.
Yashar Koyach, not just on your program, but on your svarim that you put out, I have to tell you, there's a young man in my shul, he's 11 years old, and he comes to me every night after Maariv with questions of halacha, and he doesn't just want to know the psak, he wants to know the mechanics, the engineering, the calculus of halacha, and I always spend time with him. And then one day he came, because there's no real source for a child of that age, and one day he came to me so excited that he just bought a book and it's fulfilling everything he wants about his understanding and his desire to understand halacha. And I say, what's the book? And he said, Headlines. And he had it underlined and he was enjoying it immensely. So not just adults and rabbanim, but even young up-and-coming to me, the chachamim, you're being mahana.
Okay. You know, I spend most of my time, a much more substantial part of my learning time, on another sefer called Mishnah Achreina, on Mishnah Brura, that I put out already, Chelik Gimel and Chelik Vav. Each one takes me around 4 to 4.5 years to work, to go through. But it's funny, that this is the one that gets a lot more publicity.
Like they say with Ramesha, Ramatha Greenblatt once told me that Ramesha came to see him in Memphis, and he walks into Ramatha's office, and he sees the Igros Meisha, you know, all dog-eared and used up, and notes inside of it. And the Dibros Meisha on Shas was like up on a shelf, piled high, came out not opened. And he said, I saw my Rebbe get so upset. He didn't say anything, but he got so upset. Because to Ramesha, the Dibros Meisha was his magnum opus. But sometimes, you know.
Okay.
But Mirat Hashem, I look forward to seeing those svarim that you mentioned.
Okay, so we're talking this week about beards and about shaving, and I understand you've published about it. Have you gone through the sugya of, you know, shaving as far as, you know, is shaving what the different shittas, what type of shaving, or would you prefer to speak about some of the other shilas that have to do with beards?
Whichever it is, I mean, certainly it's a tremendous sugya. It's somewhat even controversial. There's a sefer by a Rabbi Weiner, published in Tavshin Lamed Ches, or Lamed Tes, called Hadras Panim Zaken, quoting the Gemara Kofnan Beis and Shabbat. And it's two volumes. And all he does is focus on, you know, the mashinkas, the electric shavers, but in general, but befrat, how every Jew has to have a beard. It's a Chassidish sefer. It's a little bit controversial. If you walk into Chassidish Abate Midrashim, they have it there. They say over that when he came to Ramesha, because he felt very strongly about beards, this topic in general, that every yid has to have a beard. And there have been Litvisher Shashivas who felt the same. But the legend goes, when he came to Ramesha for Haskama, Ramesha gave Haskamas a lot. People say he was a Sar Hamaskim, as long as someone was a Ben Taira. He refused. And he said, it's not our job when you see, you know, Puchazi Madam Advar, there's a large segment of Bnei Taira who follow the Rosh Yeshivas, who don't have beards. So certainly, you know, beards in general is fascinating if we want to go down that path. And when electric shavers were initially invented, and the samim, you know, you go back to Rishonim. The Rishonim mentioned the samim they were put on their face. So for a long time, Yidden didn't have beards. You know, the Chassam Sefer mentions the Ramami Pano, famously, you know, a makom.
Didn't have a beard. Yeah. As did the Masil Susharim. The Masil Susharim didn't have a beard until it moved to Eretz Yisrael.
Right. The Italian Rabbanim in general. And in fact, you know, the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva, somewhere in the Kuf, whatever it is, in the Tshuva, he writes that, you know, I don't know anything about Teres Nisar, which was not true, but he said that it's not just Pshat that it's Mutar Alpi Nigla. It's also Alpi Nisar. There's an Indian, because in Gullus, a beard, a zaken, is so chashuv that in Gullus, maybe we're not worthy for it. And if I'm not mistaken, he claims that this is what these Italian mukubalim felt. The Ritva mentions it too, I say. The Ritva is a tshuva about the samim, the palators they would put on their face. But, you know, all of this is moot, because today we have these electric shavers, and kiyadua, I remember in yeshiva, I'm sure you have memories as well, of the few bacharim who knew how to take clippers, open up the shaver and dull it, or take out the lift and cut, and this is a huge shaila in halacha. You know, I'm lucky; my beard is very light, so I was able to use a trimmer, and that's for sure not a shaila. But the Chafetz Chaim answered it, and others answered it, and certainly again, Puchazim Adam Advar, among the Litvisha, especially in America, or Mako like Ramesha and others who hold
in fact, we're going to try to have on Rabbi First, who is really the one who, you know, spoke to Ramesha about this, you know, firsthand. So we're going to see if we can get him on to tell us about Ramesha Shita.
Because Ramesha Shita is not written, so I'll be fascinating to hear this conversation. They say, and you'll ask him, I'm sure, that Ramesha used to do the Sheichet test. You know, he would take a hair
right.
and slice it and see if it went through. But I don't think there's anything in writing. You know, his whole Shita, that's from the Lashon of Rashi and Makas, of Derech, that even if the accomplishment of electric shaver is ki a razor, meaning it gets very close, it's still not the derech of shaving, but I would love to hear that discussion because...
There's Ramesh's position is based upon, I guess, that the Gemara says that, you know, there's a machlek is whether a lakate or rehafti, which either, you know, some type of a plane that they used to use to you know, slice. But it, so Gemara says that even though, since it's not the derech, we hold no, it has to be a taramamish. So Ramesh's opinion is that even though that a shaver is used for shaving, but that is not the shaver that the Gemara talks about, a tar, and it's shaloi kederech. And I think you would say that even today that shavers have become very popular. Very few goyim use shavers.
It's still not
the preferred method of cutting. I mean, we do it because it's halacha, but I've never seen a guy.
They do it out of convenience, knowing that if they had the time, and sometimes the money and the patience, I think they would all use razors. It's a question of convenience. It's not.
I've never seen a guy use a shaver, honestly. Every time you see a thing, they're always using razors. They're cheap. They're disposable. They do a better
right.
job. So the argument would be is, yes, there is a small segment in a population, so it was shaloi kederach then, and even though it's made for this, it's still shaloi kederach, and you don't even have, and you could extend this far, some say that it was shaloi kederach at the time of the Mishnah, so it remains shaloi kederach today, but I would even make the argument that today it's shaloi kederach.
I've asked Goyim what they use. I mean, I haven't asked every guy I met, but I've asked VMO, and they all say they own an electric shaver, but their preferred method, if they have time, is a razor. This is just a crutch. They use the electric shaver as a crutch. So I agree with you that still today, I don't think we have to come on to the chiddush of even if it changes, because, you know, with some of these inyanim, some change could affect, according to many paiskim. But in any event, I agree with you that it's still shalei kederech. I think that's pashut. But then again, there are Paiskim, Belsky, and others that felt there are specific shavers that, and this is something that you'll ask the Paisik that you'll have on soon. You know, there are the screen shavers. When I was a Bacher, that was the popular one that we heard. The legend was the Paiskim allows with the screen. Because when you have a screen, there are some who say that when there's a hefsik, that alone is okay. And then the Shiloh Liftin cut. So, you know, there are Paiskim who hold Liftin cuts also fine, but there are many Paiskim who hold not. You know, I saw in an article in Tchumen, a couple of articles in Tchumen on this issue, that some Paiskim write, I shouldn't say Paiskim, but these authors who are Biktim and Chachamim, they're Mechadish, they based it on Chassam Sefer and others, that the only type of blade that has a din of hashchasa, because for the listener, you need both giluach and hashchasa, which, you know, the terms that you use, ritani, we don't know exactly what they are. Let's say you said a plane or tweezers, whatever they may be. You need both. It has to be a cut and a destruction. So they say that the idea of destruction has to be that you could chop a bunch of hairs at once. That with a razor, the chiddush of a razor is, with one swoop, you get, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hairs. And so long as an electric shaver can't do that, which they can't, even the lift and cut, which, you know, there's a good argument to make that it is similar to a tayar, because, you know, pull the way it works, you have the dull blade, and it lifts it out, and then you have the other blade that comes in, you know, gets it at its root, mamish at its root. But they say, since the din of a razor is, you know, a bunch of hairs at once. It's not a din razor. So there's so many shitas out there. I want to go back, if I could interject. You know, you mentioned that when we started about beards in general, and I mentioned this sefer of Hadras Panim Zokein, and Chalila, was I trying to diminish the author? Of course, he meant everything Latelos HaRabim. But there's a maysa, I don't know if you've heard this maysa, it's a legend, with the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe, the Riyoyal, was in a car coming back from the mountains. And as we know, when you come back from the mountains, there are people waiting, hitching rides. So there's a yeshiva bacher, you know, trying to get a ride. So the Satmar Rebbe tells the driver, pick him up. He's going to Williamsburg too, wherever he was going. We'll give him a lift. So the fellow's in the back, and he's clean-shaven. He's a litzvah bacher. And they drop him off wherever they drop him off. And the driver, the Satmar driver, turns to the Satmar Rebbe, and he makes a snide remark about him not having a beard, the bacher not having a beard. And they say that the Satmar Rebbe responded, and he said that there are two yidden who come to Shemayim. You're right, there are yidden who come to Shemayim, according to our Messiah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ask him, Yid v'zayin der bard, where's your beard? But he said, don't forget, there's another type of yid who comes to Shemayim. And that's some certain yidden who are Hasidish, and they'll come to Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, bard, v'zayin der yid. The ikar is that we follow our Messiah, and that's the key.
Okay. I mean, you know, the Chassam Sofer is considered by the Litvish, at least, but he's, you know, sort of Hasidish. He certainly acted, you know, many of his menhagim were Hasidish. He was certainly a Kanoi. So when the Chassam Sofer says that he doesn't understand what the commotion about, and he says the Marami Panu didn't have a beard, I mean, that would seem to be powerful. I want to ask you, just as a Rav, I just wonder, like, when somebody writes a two-volume Sofer on having a beard, right? And I've seen the Sefer, and they're thick volumes, by the way. They're like 3 inches thick, each one. I mean, this each one is the size of a phone book, you know, and not a Voigtwood directory. I'm talking about a Manhattan phone book. It's like when somebody takes one mitzvah or one hanhaga taiva and turns it into such a thing, I think there's something missing in perspective. It's like, you know, somebody once asked me, he said, you know, he saw somebody standing for 2 hours looking at an estrig. And he said, you know, you could spend 2 hours with a magnifying looking at an estrig. How much time did you spend going through your finances to make sure there wasn't a shayla of Geneva or Gzela? Or when did you look at all your loan applications and your mortgage applications to make sure there's no Geneva's das also? Like when we take one particular thing, which it's even a shaila, how big of an inyan, is it an inyan, is it an issa, and you write 2 volumes on it, does it sort of distort the taryag mitzvahs where it gives sort of an uneven balancing to something? Like what happened, do you spend that much time looking at all your bein adam lechaveire, which is the Gemara says in Izu Ikre Shal Taira, is a Kval Gadol of the Taira, it's Ikre Shal Taira, and are you spending like the 2 hours, you spent 1,000 pages writing about beards? Like, does that as a Rav, does that strike you at all as something a little distorted?
I have so much to comment on what you said, but I'll be brief. A few zachim. First of all, as we know, the Balei Musar do say that there's nothing wrong if someone has a Maimer Chazal or a mitzvah that they focus on, a Natiyah and a Neshama. So that in and of itself is not an issue. Before we get to this Sefer, I'll give you an example. There's someone that I know, his name is Reb Aaron Levine, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he's published countless Svarim on Yoni Smachos, on Avelos, on Bikur Chaylim. And several years ago, he came out with a two-volume set on Yahrzeit. Just on Yahrzeit. And these are also like New York phone books. It's called Kolbo Li Yahrzeit. It has everything on Yahrzeit. Now, it happens to be that as a Rav, the Mikzayah that we get Shilas on more than anything else is Yahrzeit. So it happens to be helpful. But someone sent me on a blog that they were making fun of the Sefer. And in his case, it happens to be he lost a child when the child was very young, and he went to Reb Ruderman, his Rosh Hashiva, and Rosh Hashiva told him he should dedicate his life to teaching the Hamainam this sugya. So I think it depends on what a person, why he's doing it. I think Bar Moshe's point was very stark. You know, you mentioned about Be'al Mechavero and your loan documents. There's a famous maisa of the fellow who's approached by Shul to become their Rav, and he went to his Rosh Hashiva and he said, what do? I don't want the achrayas of answering Shailas and Hilchas Nida and Basar B'Cholav and Hilchas Pesach. And the Rosh Hashiva said, well, what do you want to do? He said, I want to go into real estate. And the Rishiva looked at him like he was crazy. Do you have any idea the shailas and chayshem mishpat that you're going to enter? You're going to leave, you know, the problems you have of being a rav, and you're going to take on perhaps even a greater achrayus. So I think that's true as well. We have to have a sense of balance. But, you know, I think that we're losing a little bit the idea of elu ve'elu de relikim chayim, that everybody has to follow their rebbeim. And the fact, I'll tell you, as you said, you look through the Sfarim, he doesn't really bring the Divrei Makilim. And he writes very sharf. And I think that's very dangerous. You know, I think if this, you know, I want to be careful because this is being recorded. But he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but I agree with many points that you said. To have a focus specifically on one Inyan could be very dangerous. The Torah is everything's connected. I remember once someone called me up with a shaila. He was going to an area that's a question of the time zone. So I told him, you know, there happens to be someone who dedicates his life to this sugya. So he calls up this individual, and he calls me back, and he says, it's still not clear. So I said, you know, maybe call a certain paisik. His wife's not dedicated to that sugya, but call that paisik. And he said, after he got off the phone with that paisik, it was as clear as day. You know, there's something to be said about someone who dedicates their life to a sugya. But if you don't view Torah as everything being connected, I think you lose something. I think there is certainly a danger.
A sense of balance is lost, right?
Sense of balance, yeah. Well, you know, the line from Winston Churchill is, a fanatic is someone who you can't change their mind, and they can't change the subject. But everything always comes back to the subject.
So, Rabbi Taub, you also wrote an interesting article, some other shilas that have to do with beards and with hair. Can you tell us, the Olam, a little bit about some of the shilas you discussed?
Yeah, this was the Geshmaka Shaila. I actually had a friend, a Rav here in Queens, Rabbi Hertz, who is very close to Pesach and Eretz Yisrael of Zilberstein, and I felt this was a perfect shaila for Zilberstein. So I told him, he happened to be going to Eretz Yisrael the other week, I said, could you ask him the shaila? So the shaila was like this. You know, the first half of the shaila, Rabbanim get all the time. It's a shaila of Leisilbeish, Leilbeish. Someone wanted to have a hair transplant. This was a bachar, he was in his 30s, he felt that the calls dried up because partially he was going bald, prematurely bald. And he wanted to get a hair transplant. Okay, that's shaila number one. We'll leave that off to the side. Shaila number two was, when he went to the doctor, and I wasn't aware of this, and in my research after I had the shaila, it turns out this is a more common case than I thought. I'm surprised I never heard the shaila before. The doctor tells him that, you know, the way a hair transplant works is they take hair and skin from different parts of the body, the back of the head, lamashal, and they put it on the front of the head. And it grows naturally. But it's so sensitive and raw after the surgery that you mustn't, said the doctor, put anything heavy on your head. And the patient looks at him like, okay, I won't put anything heavy on my head. He didn't know what that could be referring to. And the doctor, wisely, a non-Jewish doctor, said, no, I don't think you get it. You're an Orthodox Jew, and the boxes, meaning the tefillin that you put on every day, you can't put on, meaning you can't put on a tefillin shel reish. So now we have a serious shaila of bittul aseh and the din of tefillin bechalal if it's kol yom v'yom. But also the shaila.
Wait, so as a Rabbi Taub, this is a sugya I didn't, you know, haven't learned recently, but my first response would be that he's doing it al kavod habrius, and we would say gadol kavod habrius shadecha lois asei shebetayra, and this is a drabanan. So I don't.
What's the rabbanon and what's the lois asei?
So here it would be an asei. So if a lois asei b'shev al tasa, an asei is certainly nidcha. But this is a drabanon. It's not even asei. To put tefillin on every day is a drabanon. It's not a deraisa.
Asei is poly b'shev al tasa. It's a shaila nachrinim. But
an asei. So it's a bittul asei. So, and it's not an assay because he's not a karkafta d'loy manach tefillin. The rice of tefillin is once. This is his rabbanon of kol yayim v'yayim. So if it's levatel an assay, it's certainly
there are shitas that hold the rice.
I'm not aware of that. If you could point me to such a sheet, I'd appreciate it.
I'll look around as we're on the phone. The Brisker Rav was quoted as saying...
I know there's a Prima Gadim in Hilchus Tefillin that says something Mechudish Maid. He says that a Kakafta, the Loi Manach Tefillin, is even somebody who misses a day, which is a real Chiddush, because to say that the Tchiv Drabanan gives you a din of Kakafta, the Loi Manach Tefillin, the Prima Gadim is a Chiddush, and you need a Raya Gedaila to say that. But I don't know if the Raya, I mean, I haven't learned this in a while. I learned Hilchus Tefillin 2 years ago. I don't know of a Shita. I wrote on it around two or three years ago.
It's been a while for me as well. If I recall, there's a tremendous machlokes, Rishayim and Achrayim, as to what befrat is the chiv the rice of tefillin. How often it has to be, but the shita among the Achrayim that they quote, a lot of people quote, is the Brisker Rav, that it's a continuous chiv, meaning that there's a chiv at every moment you could wear tefillin.
There's no doubt that there's a kiyum every minute.
No.
But the question is the chiv to put it on every day, would that be a deraisa? That's what I'm referring to.
I understand the distinction that you're making, and I believe there are Rishayim hold like that, but I can't say a source.
Okay, so what did Rav Zolberstein paskin? Don't keep us in suspense.
I'll tell you what happened. It was actually very interesting. So I sent a shout out to a few paskin to see what they had to say. Maybe I could quote. Rabbi Feinstein felt that, unlike what you were saying, he felt that there's a mitzvah to put on tefillin, a chiv to put on tefillin, and there's no heter bechlal. You know, you're being mevatel and I say that right, son, there's no heter bechlal. Another paisik.
By the way, he could certainly put on tefillin shel yad.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's something that actually we should point out for the listener, that if ever there's a situation where, you know, maybe one of the tefillos are being checked or they have a cast on, you could put on one, not the other. That's a mefurish to halacha. But in any event, the assistant rabbi here went to his Rosh Hashiva and asked him, and he quoted this Brisker Rav and said, a tremendous chiddush, I thought, that when the surgery is over and the week that he recovers is done with, he should make a cheshbon of how many minutes or hours of tefillin he missed and put on that next day tefillin for that amount of time.
No, but it's a
tremendous chiddush because he's...
I don't mean, so what is he saying? Is he saying you're allowed to not put on the tefillin for the day? Is that what he's basically saying?
He said, yeah. I mean, I think I could quote who it was. It was a personal shachtar. I know you had him on the radio. And I'm a cliché.
But why wouldn't you say El Gadol covered Abrius? Why wouldn't you say that?
I hear. When he's on the radio, I know you have him on. You could ask him the shayla.
I hear. Okay.
To me, the bigger chiddush was, I mean, besides that, he was probably quoting from Soloveitchik, who was quoting from his Zayda, or in this case, his uncle. But... the bigger chiddush I thought was that we don't put on tefillin, we don't keep tefillin on for so long. We're not, our bodies aren't nikiyin. Hesech das is a big yitzahara for us today. So maybe he meant that 10 minutes extra every day until you make up the time. But I can't imagine he meant that you're going to put on tefillin for, we're not Rav Scheinberg. We're not going to put on tefillin for 4 or 5 hours. That's a tremendous nisayon. But anyway, it's a big chiddush. But, you know, I happen to have mentioned the shaila to various rabbanim, speaking over the sugya. I wasn't going doctor shopping. But to Rav Hertz, I said, ask Rav Zilberstein. But what I pointed out in the column that I wrote, I gave over a shir, really focusing on the leisilbeish issues of the matter. And at the end of the shir, someone says, I don't understand the shaila. There's an easy way out. And I said to the balabas, what are you talking about? I spent so long on the sugya. And he said, no. Let him get the procedure, Erev Pesach, Erev Sukkot.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll be swallowed up. So I get a call that afternoon from my friend Rav Hertz, and he said, I spoke to Rav Zilberstein. I said, what did he say? He said, get the surgery, Pesach, Pesach,
Erev Pesach. Yeah. No, but I'll tell you what the problem with that is. That is that if he's in a lot of pain, so he would have to be daichi yamtif with other ishailas with painkillers, etc., which is why Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, it's never good to get a medical procedure immediately prior to Shabbos or yamtif, because you'd be a dying being machnas yourself into where you may have to be over an issa.
Painkillers,
it's also a drabbanan.
But it's drabbanan for everybody. But the today that it's
so I'm saying it's one drabbanan or another drabbanan. I'm not sure what you're being
more. Okay, that's the you could ask Rishachter. He'll tackle hold the drabbanan. But I hear, I mean, the Debrei Chaim holds today. Because the whole shayla with medicine is a gzeir al teichen. And today, that really no pills are teichen. But then, we should point out, there is a whole other issue here of Le'il Beish, and which is a serious issue. Today,
I think men do it as much as women. Who said hair transplants is a men's thing? It's not even a woman's thing. It's hard to really get it. It would be a hard case to say this myself.
The Rambam has a big chiddush. You know, there's no Gemara or Medrash, Sifra, Sifri. There's no mention of dyeing hair. The Chazal, in various sugyas in Shabbos and in,
right.
in Makkos, whatever, a few other sugyas in Nazir, that they talk about plucking hairs. Dyeing hairs is a chiddush of the Rambam.
Right. Karech mikan, karech mikan, the Gemara. Yeah.
The Shalomesh, there are those that have sources from Chazal. But in any event, it's unique to a man in this case this type of leilbush of playing with your hair and doing certain things with your hair. Now, hair on the body, that's a derabanan, and then there's plucking hair, which is daraisa, and the Rambam seems to say, and again the Shalomeshiv says that there are others who disagree, but the Rambam seems to say that this will be a daraisa. So
it's worth discussing. Yeah.
It's not so
Rabbi Taub, Rabbi Taub, I have to apologize, but we're out of time.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but this was fascinating. Yeah, and so much more to discuss. But thank you. It's been an honor having you on with us.
Continue that law on your way to Sakhadish.
Take care. Call to Rabbi. We have on the phone with us Hagoyin Rav Nachum Eisenstein from Yerushalayim. He was the Makuriv, Shamash Bakhadish with the Rashka Bahag, Rabbi Yashiv Zacharin Lavracha. He also made him the head of the Geiris Bezdin and many other shtelas. He's a Rav in Yerushalayim. Welcome, Rav Nachum.
Welcome. Thanks. Shalom Aleichem to all the listeners.
I wanted to know Rabbi Yashiv's shita on shavers, and you're both an American, and you were mishamish by him. Maybe you could give us his opinion and some, perspective.
Okay, so again, the Rav Yashiv, everyone knows the Rav Yashiv, when I heard it from him many, many times, that people came and brought him shavers, which he wouldn't even look at it. Rav Yashiv holds that there's a suffix, issa deraisa, which if you use any shaver which you use, which may take out two hairs to the hairline, there's an issa deraisa. So Rav Yashiv held using any shaver, and tests were made in Eretz Yisrael. Tests were made in Eretz Yisrael on the different situations that the person comes out. They used goyim. It was done on goyim. That person has a hard beard, a soft beard. There's different types of skin, this and that. When the person's sweating, when the person comes out of a shower, the tests were made in all kinds of different conditions. And after this, they took a good magnifying glass, and they looked in the person, and they saw in almost all cases there were at least two hairs, which were uprooted from the hairline. So because that, there's no shaver that Rav Yashiv was ever matter. There are certain shavers now in Eretz Yisrael which are really more like trimmers, that they have a hechsher from reliable rabbanim. So those have a shield on it, and it's not possible that it should go down to the hairline. Now, even it should be known, and Baruch Hashem today, but they tell you that Yisrael is always mekubel by the yeshiva light not to use shavers. But in America, there are a bunch of American bachim coming to Yisrael now also, which they're makbid not to use shavers, that they use trimmers. You have to know when you use a trimmer, if you don't use it the right way, then a trimmer also can be a shayla. And the right way means you have to use it with the trimmer, when the shield on the trimmer is down. If you turn it upside down and the piece which moves, which a piece that moves, which is the scissor part, is facing the skin, then it's possible also that he can uproot two hairs from, or only one hair, he can uproot hairs till the skin line. So it's very important when people come to me, Bochum, and they are shilas, I tell them, when you use a trimmer, you also have to use it the proper way. The Rav Yashiv was machmer also when using cream and things like that. He had chumers in there also, but since I don't think it's so popular using cream and in America. That's Zoyalenu. I was in America recently, and I visited someone who's in jail for Nazis for reasons which he shouldn't be there. And all of a sudden, they came. I saw him. He grew a beard. So I asked him, why did he grow a beard? He says, because in the jail, you're not allowed to use shavers. You're only allowed to use cream. And the cream was irritating his face, so he had no choice to grow a beard. But a cream, even if it's used, Rav Yosef is makpid, that if you have a light beard, maybe a younger bach can use a cream, that it's when you rub off the cream, you cannot rub it off with anything which has a sharpness. And we showed him a credit card. And he'll take a credit card, you see the corners of the credit card have a sharpness on it. And Rav Yosef held, that's also considered a mashchis, and you cannot take off the cream with a credit card that has a pointy credit card that's not roundish, but it's squarish. So it's well known, it's not only Rav Yosef, that every poysik in Israel, every poysik, they signed letters against it. This is already a story from about 30 or 40 years ago when shavers started becoming popular in Israel, that they wrote letters, and I have letters from all of Gdol Yisrael that no shaver is allowed to use. Now, they have what's called lifting cot and all kinds of other things. There's Rabbanim say, if you take out the lifting cot, you take out the lift, you can take out something, it's okay. But again, people may test on it. There's tests. It's not that they're saying things which may be in Ulai, but they may test, and that even if you take out the lifting cot, you take out the lift, there's still, they found after these tests that the one or two hairs or hairs were sometimes uprooted from the hairline. Now, I was told from the family from Moshe, that even in the family from Rav Moshe, it's questionable with what Rav Moshe was matter. And there's a lot of Rabbonim from the Mishpacha from Rav Moshe that they also say that you should not use shavers.
As always, it's an honor and an interest having you on. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We have the honor of having with us on the phone from Budapest, Hungary, Rabbi Baruch Oberlander, who's the Chabad Rav of Budapest. He's the head of the Beis Din of Budapest. Welcome, Rav Oberlander.
Hello. Hi. Shalom Aleichem.
Rav Oberlander, you've published about the Shita of Chabad as far as shaving. Could you give us a synopsis of what the Chabad Shita is?
The Chabad Shita goes like this. You know, we're talking about simple Shulchan Aruch. Yoredeya Simen Kuf Pei Aleph says that Peyo is Hazoken, the beard, the only Isser is if it's done the Ta'ar, but not the Misparaim. I feel like an Entar, meaning not with a scissor, anything that doesn't take off the whole, leaves no hair, nothing left, that's as long as it doesn't do, as long as it's only a scissor, it's not a tar, then it's okay. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So, which would mean that, you know, there's not a problem of shaving. But before we go to the Chabad Shita, we have to stop for a minute because there is a problem with shaving, which a lot of poiskim brought up, that a lot or most of the shavers today might come close or be considered a tar, which they take off the beard, they take off the hair very, very smooth and clean. So a lot of places can say that that's not what's allowed. The only thing which is allowed is the scissor, which leaves some shoyrish, leaves some left over, so it's not a complete smooth shave. So once we're talking about not a 100% smooth shave, so it seems like the Shulchan Aruch says that it's allowed, and the Rama is not chaylik. He doesn't say different than the Machaber, than the Beis Yosef. There is one little problem here that the Machaber says afilu b'misparayim mutar. Mutar. He uses the word mutar, which means it's allowed, which muta usually means allowed lekatchila. The source of this is in the Rambam, Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Beis, and the Rambam uses the word potur, which means that it's not an issue.
I think the, I don't. I'm work, but I think the Kesef Mishnah there says that it's muta lechatchila, doesn't he?
Yes, yes. The Kesef Mishnah is the Beis Yosef.
Yeah.
The Kesef Mishnah is the Beis Yosef, but I'm talking about the Rambam says the word potter. So the Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef, says that he means mutter, and that's why he in Shulchan Aruch he made sure to fix the language that it should say mutter. Now
right.
The Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek in his Shuvas Yeredeya Tzadi Gimel, he doesn't like the idea because he said, look in the halachas before and after, you see that the Rambam very clearly differentiates between potter and mutter. The Rambam doesn't write potter when he means mutter. So Tzemach Tzedek has here a whole long tshuva of like 15 pages, and he starts the whole sugya of in Nozir, Nun Ches Amid Beis, Nun Tes Amid Aleph, where the Gemara is talking about Omar Rav make Adam Kol Gufoy Betar, or the Yochanan says that it's Loike. And over there we're talking about Kol Gufoy, which wouldn't mean also the beard, but from that, and what is the Shail over there in the Gemara? Over there the Shail is in the Gemara, as Rashi says, the aimboy or there is mishum lo yilbash gever simlas isho. So meaning there's two questions over here. There's one question of loisakifu paas roishchem, and you shouldn't betar, and you shouldn't cut the beard with a tar. And there's another shaila of shaving different parts of the body. The shaila of silvash gever simlas isha. So the Tzemach Tzedek goes through the whole sugya, and he points out that according, you know, that it seems from the sugya that only the hair of the goof is allowed, but the hair of the beard is not going to be allowed. And the problem is of silvash gever simlas isha, and he connects this to the Gemara. He connects it to the Gemara that you're not allowed to take levenos mitoch shchoyres, which is also leisilbash. So he says, if you're not allowed to take levenos mitoch shchoyres, how come you? Because lenoi, it's leisilbash. How come you're allowed to take off the whole beard? So that's why he says, and that's why he comes back to the Rambam that the Rambam means potter. He doesn't means only potter and does not mean mutter, because there is a problem here with. There could be a problem here of loy silbash. This is the halachic side of this whole shaila.
Okay, so let's talk halacha. So, first of all, does the Rav Shulchan Aruch bring this or no? Does he argue
There's no Rav Shulchan Aruch, or there never was, but at least Or Chaim has full. Yeredeya, he has a little, and Chayshemishpat, he has a little. Halachas Melukot.
Okay. So here's my question, okay? I mean, it's the pashtus of when the Gemara talks about the din of Lo Silbash, the Gemara Nazir on Daf Nuntes, is talking about the base Hashechi, is talking about parts of the body where an Isha has hair, so for style or for whatever, they shave. So it says, by an ish, there would be an iser of loy silbash. The din of malakeit leveinais mitach shchayres. You know, everybody has hair. So women would pick out the white, and men would pick out the white. How could you say there's an iser of loy silbash on a beard when a woman doesn't have a beard? Can you think of a single place where you have a loy silbash on something that's impossible by the woman? How can you say loy silbash, big de'isha, when an isha cannot do that? It's impossible.
The Tzemach Tzedek touches on this in length. He says, First, he says that you see that a woman that levenus interschreides of the beard is also not allowed, even though a woman doesn't have a beard. But then he says you could say that a woman has hair somewhere else, which he could do levenus interschreides. But then he continues. He says no, the concept is lenoi. And Lenoi doesn't have to mean that the woman should do the same way, exactly the same way with all the details. The main thing is that he's trying to put up Lenoi.
Lenoi, could a man, if a man wears a very fancy tie or a suit, would there be a shayla of Leisobash?
The Tzemach Tzedek brings this up also. He says, he says it can't be that a dress should be loisulbash, but I think the point that he makes on this is that it's like from the goof. It's an oistes. I think what he points out, he says that lenoi, everything he do with the goof, lenoi is loisulbash.
I'm saying, but on begotim we said loisulbash. Begadisha. So if a guy puts on a very fancy suit,
which is exactly
where it is, would you say that now a guy's over Leisobash?
No, that's what I'm saying. He says if you do it with your goof, not on putting on something.
But I'm asking a question. The ikadin of Leisobash is brought by Begadim, right? Leisobash. So you're saying by Silbash you couldn't have by a guy. You couldn't have such a case. But by the goof, which is a chiddush, right? Over there, even if it's a different party, there's Leisobash.
Yeah.
Where the Ikara loch is brought, you're saying over there you don't have Leisobash by a man. But where the Ikara loch isn't brought, over there you would have Leisobash by a man.
Yeah, give me a second. Let me just mute in a second.
With a very nice suit, you would be a child of Leisobash.
I think the point that he says is over here. He says that a woman doesn't have hair means that her face is always young and beautiful. So says when a man makes his face young and beautiful, it's considered loisulbash. I don't have an answer to that point of how come loisulbash simlas isha I don't have an answer to that question.
Okay. So bottom line is the halachic thing is that the and by the way, I tried to go through the tshuva, but like you said, it's 15 pages long. It's a very long tshuva. I ran out of steam. You also have to have the time. I ran out of steam. I went through the first two or three pages.
So he deals with this question.
I understand. So basically, he argues on the Shulchan Aruch, and he says a chiddush that the beard is a loisulbash, even though Anisha can't have a beard, which is a double chiddush to argue on the Shulchan. But let's talk. So that's the halachic background. What's about from a Kabbalistic background. Let's talk about that.
Because what we're talking here is still about shaving. Yeah, the Tzemach Tzedek does not talk about trimming. The Tzemach Tzedek talks about shaving, and that he claims that, you know, again, the Shani has, right in the beginning, he has a very strong expression, like Tiyufta or Mufrach, against the Vis Yosef, like, you know, an unusual, strong expression against the Shulchan Aruch, the rights mutter. But going down, then we get to the Kabbalah point, which is brought in Be'er Heitev over there in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Pei Aleph. And Be'er Heitev brings from the Arizal. The Arizal says shouldn't cut at all, meaning shouldn't trim the beard with nothing, not with a scissor, not with anything else. And besides, says the seir shal hasofa hamakev achila, since it doesn't let you eat, then the mustache, then you're allowed. That's the only part you're allowed. And he says gam hoye niza shlo liga bezikin, even to the point that Arizal was very very careful not even to touch his beard. They shouldn't chaz v'sholem take out of here. The mocker of the Arizal is in Shar HaMitzvahs, Shar HaMitzvahs Parshas Kedoshim, where he very strongly points this out, that the beard symbolizes Hashpoah from Hashem, and cutting the beard, it cuts like the Hashpoah of Hashem. He writes like Chaz v'Sholem, and it can't be done. Iser Godul Ma'oid, who lakoir elitlish biyode afilo sa'ar echot belvad, b'chol makoim zikna ki heim tzinoirois shel shefa. And this point is not only we're talking about star or misparaim. This is trimming any point, any part of the beard.
So you know there's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer where he writes that he says the Merami Panu was certainly a big makubal from the Talmidim, I believe, right, of the Ari, right?
Talmidim,
and he didn't wear a beard, right?
Yeah, that's the version.
Yes, and the Lutzato, the great Lutzato, until he reached Eretz Yisrael, didn't have a beard. And I saw some of the late Achrayim say that, even though they were clearly from the Talmidim of the Ari, but in Chutz Laaretz it wasn't relevant. It seems that Chabad doesn't embrace this Svara.
No, against the Chassam Sofer, you have a long tshuva in the Minchas Alozer. First, he's trying to debate the fact if the Imam Ipana did have a beard or not. He discredits it.
I respectfully don't think the Minchas Alozer is a bar plucked of the Chassam Sofer, but that's maybe a separate conversation. Okay, continue.
There were different. Obviously, there were different opinions on the subject. But Chassidim in general and Chabad in particular, were very, very, very strict on this subject.
So let me ask you a question. Yeah, I think one of the lashonis of the Chassam Sofer is like Mali bin Astaris, right? So, but here's another question. Okay, the Chabad seems to want to go, with the Derech HaKabbalah, right? They do a lot. But like, there's a lot of things in Dari. Like, if we started doing Al Pi Ari, like, do you eat Shasiris? What time of the day you're allowed to eat? Because these hours, the Dina Mashaylet and the Dina Mashaylet, they could be Oiker, the Chelik Hatzilus of the Adam Dari, right? I mean, does Chabad do that too?
No, it's a very good point, and that's why I didn't start with Arizal. I started with the Be'er Heitev quoting the Arizal. Because, at such a question, do we go according to Kabbalah or not? It's a difference if it's, we call it clean Kabbalah or Kabbalah brought down in the Poiskin. And brought down in the Poiskin, like Be'er Heitev on the Shulchan Aruch, is like the Magen Avraham constantly bringing Kavanis, or even with Yosef sometimes bringing in the Zoya, it's different. It's not clean Kabbalah. It's already Kabbalah, which Poiskim brought down into the realm of Halacha.
Ah, okay. So
interesting. There is a letter from the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, which he writes, I believe it's to the Rebbe, but I'm not sure, to his son-in-law, that he writes about a shoychet, which doesn't have a beard. He said it's a difference if we're talking about a shoychet that comes from a background, let's say a chassidish background, or a shoychet from a German background where they didn't have beards. Because if it's a shoychet that comes from a German background, he says, you could accept it, you could be a fully erased shamayim, because this is how their Messiah went on. But if you're talking about Sheikh in the Chassidish background or from such kehillas that they did have beards, so the Sheikh, which doesn't have a beard, is considered that he's missing a little Yirah Shemayim.
Yeah, we had on before a Rav from Satmar, and he said it's a little bit like wearing a yarmulke. He didn't go Kabbalistic or Halacha. He said, this is our Messiah. He says, so when somebody walks in without a yarmulke, walks into Shul or whatever, you would say, by Sfaradim, by Ashkenazim, even Stam without a yarmulke, you would say, who state? I mean, I'm quoting by my heart, but I think the Magen Avraham or the Taz and Simbe says calls it a Midas Chassidus. He says, would you say, okay, the person's not over, is not being Mekayim and Midas Chassidus? So you would say, Ayid Geit Mit a yarmulke. So he said, wearing a beard is sort of like wearing a yarmulke. By us, it's not halacha, it's not that. This is the tzura, and if you take it off, it says something. Would you say Chabad has that attitude too, or is it really more a halacha and a Kabbalah thing?
I mentioned the yarmulke. Happens to be that Tzemach Tzedi claims that it's strictly halacha. Also, the
I'm just quoting. Okay. I don't have a Shulchan Aruch in front of me, but I believe it's either the Magen Avraham or Taz that calls it a Midas Chassidus. There's a stira in Tumakaimis in the Shulchan Aruch that Magen Avraham brings. If you look
There's no question that in Chabad the shaving is considered strictly halacha, and the beard is Kabbalah. It's not Midas Chassidus.
Okay, so let me ask you another question. What about trimming a beard? Is it allowed?
I'm talking about trimming. The trimming is Kabbalah. Shaving is halacha.
Aha. So you don't shave it al talacha al faisilbash, and you don't trim it because you're being saistem or you're being makatzer, but it's bittatius almost. But in the tinairis, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
And in Chabad, if somebody would shave, like what's the chaimer that they would look at it?
Hey, listen. It's a strange question because, you know, in Chabad we try to be makar of everybody that is, even if he's a machal of Shabbos. So if somebody trims his beard or shaves his beard, you surely should be makar of him. So Chabad is not into kanoes, that, you know, like by proving him wrong by being, kicking him out of shul.
But if they nemed on la halacha, so if somebody shaves, he's an avarian in respect. I mean, he's over on loy silbash. I mean, it's not nisra of taglachas, but he's over on a lav.
Yes, this is
right. And lamashal, and I'll tell you something else. The Shulchan Aruch says that I'm embarrassing myself. I think in Kufrin Ches. That if somebody's over a in your day of the that if somebody's over a lav bitzmidis, right, he gets a din of somebody's over a lav on a daily basis, right, he has a din of my read of a malin. He has a din of gets the din of a kaifer because
he's a mummer on this thing.
Yeah, he has a din of a mummer lahachis, even if he does it letayavain, but if he does it for betzmidis, it's not considered a mummer letayavain anymore. It gets a din of a mummer lahachis because he says, look, I'm totally indifferent. When somebody's totally indifferent, has a din. So that's the chaymer that Chabad takes it.
In India, yes. Practically, I never heard or met such chaymer din. But in Indian, for instance, we're talking about the same thing that it's halacha, and according to the tzaddik, it could go, you know, it could be the iraisa. So in Indian, this is the way
now,
we look
at
it.
Now, are there other areas that you could think of in Chabad where they would argue on the Shulchan Aruch and say, we argue on the Shulchan Aruch, and this is the way, could you think of other places? I mean, to come out against the Beis Yosef like this.
The comment that he makes, like, you know, Tiyufta, or what is the Lashon over there, is a strong Lashon. But it's like, you know, the question is I don't think it's right, because, you know, when you learn Shulchan Aruch, the Shach and the Taz and the Mangaram sometimes come out against the Mechaber, and, you know, it's part of the halachic discussion. So
I understand, but I would respectfully say that there's a little bit of a difference.
is that usually when you have a Ramah or a Shachar Taz, they'll say, we're not going with the Beis Yosef here, we're going with the Rambam. We're not going with the Beis Yosef, we're going to go with the Trumas Adeshin. We're not going with the Beis Yosef. They're going to be toil with themselves, the Elon Gadol, just to learn a new shot that argue on the Beis Yosef occurs, but it's less common.
No, over here also, the Tzema Tzedek goes for on the Rambam. The Tzema Tzedek brings the Rambam.
I understand, but who argues on the Rambam Beferish?
Who are the poiskim there already besides
the
Lashon is in Oy Zayin, the Tiyuf to the Beis Yosef.
Yeah, so I'm saying the Tar Kain, Misbarayim Kain Tar, are there any Rishonim that say that there's an Isser?
The Tzema Tzedek brings the Sefer Achinuch over there
in Oy Zayin. That says it's like Silbash?
No, that it's
Osir.
Because of a Rambam Zav Megillah B'Sfarayim Potter, Nira Medvara De Davke Potter Hu, Avel Osir Laas Eiske. And he says, and he points to Mesechtes Nozis of Tzemach Tzedek, but he's pointing to the same sugi here in Nun Ches Nun Tes.
Who, the Sefer Achinuch?
Yes.
I have to look that up. Well, Rabbi Obalanda, it's an honor to have you on, and could you bench the whole Olam, the bracha of a shliach from Hungary who goes to such a remote place with such mysterious nefesh? Give uns ala, vinshuns ala bracha. Let's get a bracha from you.
Hashem should help you and all the listeners. I'm so kenenton laharbis kveit shemayim. Whatever you do, whatever you meet a yid, try to get him a step closer to Yiddishkeit.
Amen. Thank you very much, Rabbi Obalanda.
Thank you.
Kol tov. Bye-bye. We have on the phone with us from Williamsburg, Ramay Shari Kahana. He's the head of Machon Zichron Kahuna, Menal of Ramea Balanes, a Talmud of Satmar, Rav Shaul Brus, Rav Marat Chabek. Shalom Aleichem, Rav Kahana.
Aleichem Shulam. How are you?
So we're talking about shaving today. Can you tell us what the Hasidic sheet is in this from a halachic point of view, a hashkafa point of view?
Okay. From a halachic point of view, I think there is no disagreement between, you know, the Hasidim and non-Hasidim, and the Shechnurich is basically, you know, clear on that. But the Hasidim...
When you say clear, define clear.
The halacha is, you know, that you're not allowed to use certain kinds of instruments to shave your beard, but you know, but certain kinds of shaving instruments and cream, I think, is allowed. That's halachadik, and there's a lot of, you know, chushu yidin who are doing this based on their mesora, but by Hasidim. And I think these days also by the Yeshiva Shevelt, especially after the Chasana, you know, once you after the Chasana, we are very marked to not to touch the beard. And the reason for that is this is basically what we discussed last time, that you need to be proactive. You know, you need to be proactive, and as the doiris are schwacher and schwacher in Rochnius, because every generation that is further than Har Sinai, you know, generally speaking, the doiris are schwacher. So you have to be more proactive and to find ways to make a more gedurim, which is based on the Torah. You know, all the Gedurim since Shlomo HaMelech and Chazal and the Rishonim, Achronim, everything what they did, what they added to Klal Yisrael, is based on the Torah. You know, they didn't make up new rules or new concepts. Everything's based on the Torah. It's the same thing with the beard. You know, the Torah says, you know, you shouldn't shave the beard with certain instruments. So what they did is they made, especially the Hasidim, they made this a big gather, you know, a big fence, which confirms the uniform of a Hasidic person, and reminds us who we are, that we should never forget who we are. So that's
so the Rav Kahana, it's basically then a way of looking different than the Goyim. This is our tzura. Is that what your point?
Looking different, especially the bird brings some kind of chashivis to a person, at least the way, even in the old days, all the rabunam used to have birds, even in the old days. The shaving mostly was done, the balbatim used to shave in the
so
old
it's
days.
A way, to, you say it's more of a Yiddish tzura, that's what it's about.
It's a chushev tzira, a Yiddish tzira based,
so let me ask you a question. Let's say somebody lives in the Muslim world. You would be a Satmar Chassid and you move to Tunisia, Malta, right? And over there, all the Arabs run around with, langeberd, not tayis, but with langeberd, right? So would you say in an area like that where you say, wow, if we wear a beard, we'd look just like them, there's nothing special about it, would you still wear a beard? If it's just about...
Yes.
It's a tzura, and we look different than the Goyim. Well, guess what? All the Goyim, you look at, most of these Arab terrorists, they have long beards, right? They wear the big yarmulkes, the big white yarmulkes, and they have the big... So would you say, geez, we have no more reason anymore to have it, I guess. Maybe we should shave our beards so that would be the tzura of Eid.
Okay, so it's not exactly Yiddish tzira. It's more the tzira that it's a chushev tzira. Like all the rabbunim and even the non-Jewish people, the respectful people, like if you see the pictures of George Washington, all the noble men, as they used to call them in the old days, not all of them, but this was the uniform of Chushve people, and especially since it's based on the Torah.
Anyway, I don't believe George Washington had a beard, but maybe you have a different.
No, sorry. Not George Washington. Okay, let's see. Not George Washington.
Okay.
But the people in the old days. Let's see who the founding fathers. Okay, we have to check who of them.
Abraham Lincoln had a beard.
Abraham Lincoln. Benjamin Franklin. I don't know. Let's see. I'm
I think Lincoln
internet.
Had a beard. Okay.
Okay. Benjamin Franklin also did not. Okay. So, but let's put this. The philosophers. All the philosophers had beards. Aristotle had a beard, and even the philosophers from 200 years ago. Who's one of the big guys? Isaac Newton? Isaac Newton did not, I think. But it was a chushev thing, and someone told me that the reason that in the Litishvel they are makpid to wear a necktie. Even necktie is pretty much it's not Yiddish, but it brings a chushevist to a person. And there's a concept that a people needs to be chushev. He needs to respect himself and act respectful, which is part of religious and Yiddish culture, to act respectful. So the beard acts respectful.
But can I, Rav Kahana, I would take the position that today, when somebody has a beard, especially if it's, a longish beard, it doesn't look kashiv anymore. It's considered odd. It's not considered, dignified. So if the reason to do it is because of dignity, the argument should be is you look like a hillbilly. It looks the opposite of chashev.
Chashev doesn't mean...
Chashev changes. Maybe 200 years ago, or Aristotle lived, 1,000 years ago, they remember, since then we have color photographs also. Things have changed. Maybe in Aristotle's times, having a beard was chashev. I think today, when somebody walks in with a beard, they scratch their head and they think he's from Amish country. Nobody thinks it's chashev.
Chashev does not mean loft or confirmist, or chashev means a certain. I will have to think about it. The chashev does not necessarily mean liked. Chashev means it brings a certain amount of
dignity.
I don't want to use dignity. I don't want to go there. Intimidation, but I don't want to use it. It's not intimidation, of course. Because I know some people are against having beards because it intimidates other people who do not, you know. So the word is not intimidation. A certain amount of respect. And look, we didn't make this up. And the whole point is because this is a concept in the Torah. And one thing I forgot to add before, that the Kabbalah also says you should not touch the beard at all. It's in Eitz Chaim. Chaim V'Tal says you should not touch the beard. So the Kabbalah was also a big thing by Hasidim. So, you have this concept of the Torah, and you have this thing in Kabbalah, and this was a part of the uniform, you know, of Chushev people, all the generations, and all the Rabbunim, and all the generations. So it is part of the Masorah, and especially since, look, you can look at it like a yarmulke, yeah? Okay? They didn't used to wear yarmulkes. Only the Chushev people used to wear the Mura says Rav Kahana, the Chushev people, he used to have a yarmulke on their head. But later it became a Yiddish Malbush, and the Terezul says that since it's a Yiddish Malbush, and someone who doesn't not wear a yarmulke, you know, it's problematic.
I think the Taz actually says it's a midas, or that maybe I'm mixing up with the Magen Avraham, but it's a midas chasidus in Simon Bays. But your point is that when somebody walks in without a yarmulke, you're not going to say, well, he's being over on a midas chasidus. You're going to say, he had falaron the tzura fanayid. He doesn't look like a yid anymore. So you're saying that a beard is part of the tzura vayid. So even if somebody doesn't wear it, even if it's just an Indian, quote-unquote, of Tzura, but it's sort of, he's voting that he's not part of, you know, at least in the Chassidish Kreisen, of what they identify as Knesset Yisrael. Is that how you would describe it?
Yes.
Okay, I can accept that.
And I want to add this point again, that this Tzura is based on Halachadik, it's a Halachadik concept, and it's a tradition. Okay.
Well, it's certainly, you know, Sashchis and in both Emor and Kedashim is both the Daraisa. I mean, assuming it's not done correctly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you something. There's in the Chassidish world, when they look at a Litvish person who doesn't have a beard, what is the attitude?
Look, I cannot speak for everybody, but my attitude is that as long he keeps his Masoira, he is Chushev, as you know, he's still a Chushev Yid like everybody else, as long as this is part of his Masoira.
So, and let me just add on to what you're saying, Rav Kahana. Would you say, and I'm probably going to offend a lot of people, but I'm saying a historical fact, that in Chassidish Kreisen, the incidence of what they call today off the derech is far lower historically than any other part of Klal Yisrael. I mean, you look at the Ashkenazim from Germany, you look at the Litvisher from the Litta, you look at the Sfardim. I mean, the Chassidim, they just didn't lose a lot of people. Would you say that this emphasis on both Lavush and something like a beard, which both halachically really don't have a real makar, or have somewhat of a makar, but it's not like there's an issa like you started with, but would you say that in part because of this anhaga is why Chassidus has by far had the greatest stickiness as people staying within the confines, staying from and staying part of Klal Yisrael?
Yes. It's definitely a big part of the equation for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you look different, it's not so easy to get, you know, to get mixed up in places that you should not go, and the people you should not meet. So it gives you a certain amount of offense, of, you know. That's number one. Number two, there's a concept of Chassidim, which is also based on the Torah, that we need to be trained that we don't need to be conformist. We are different, and that's the way we were brought up. We are different. So it gives us, if you're used to this concept of non-conformist, it's easier to live in a place with, when most of the people are different, because you're used to the fact that you are different.
So you're saying that the beard, in a way, underlines the Hein Am Levada Yishkein.
Yes.
From the beginning, we're Levada Yishkein. We're not a chelik, we think differently, we act differently. So it's not just that it separates them, the metzias, but it's also it's a chinuch and an education in the Ata Bechatanu Mikol Amim.
Yes, that we are different, right.
Thank you, Rav Kahana, for outlining it so clearly.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.